King Nebuchadnezzar, the scripture says, leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. When you're going through the fire, don't look at what you're walking through. Look at who you're walking with. Don't look at what you're walking through. Put your eyes on who you're walking with.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. From time to time, we all struggle with fear. And while we may not be immune from it, we can overcome it because we have a God who is walking with us through the fire that we face. Listen as Pastor Wayne teaches us about overcoming fear as we explore the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
See, a lot of times our faith is based as a result-oriented faith. God, I'm going to follow you into the furnace of fire, but you better extinguish that baby before I get there. If not, I'm out of here. I'll serve God, but if he doesn't really recompense or if he doesn't reward me, if he doesn't give me what I want, then that's it. Why should I serve God? Yeah, you never served him in the first place. You're having him serve you. Yeah, well, if he doesn't want to serve me, then I'm not going to believe in him. That's up to you. You're crazy. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, my God will save us, but even if he does not, it's not based on results. It's based on who he is. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I thought, wow. It's the same as in Acts chapter 5. They were saying to Peter and the disciples, you quit teaching about God in the name of Jesus. And they threw him in jail. That night, an angel came and unlocked their chains, and they were right back out on the street teaching again. And the high priest got really mad and said, didn't we tell you to not teach in this name? And Acts chapter 5 says it this way. It says, but Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Interesting. Some people say that if you fear God, you'll fear nothing else. But if you fear man, you will fear everything else. If you fear God, you'll fear nothing else. You fear man, you'll fear everything else. And the disciples said, we must obey God rather than men. They took the right road, because they understood the power of God. So, what do we learn from this lesson in Daniel chapter 3 when they were thrown into the fire and Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, I see three men unbound. Didn't we bind them up? They're unbound. And I see, didn't we throw three in there? There's four. Where did he come from? Excuse me, could you guys come out, please? What lesson do we learn? What gave them the courage to outlast the fear that was in them? What gave them that impetus? Would you write down somewhere? Here's the first lesson I took away from it. Number one, they were fully persuaded. Not half persuaded, not three quarters. They were fully persuaded. No one could dissuade them. No threats, no punishment, no consequences could make them change their mind. They were fully persuaded in the sovereignty of God. And God awaits for us to come to that point too, that we are fully persuaded, not like, well, if God doesn't come through, then I'm out of here. Or if I don't get a convenient promotion, then I don't want to believe in God anymore. It's like, no, I'm fully persuaded. Well, what if it doesn't happen? I don't care. I'm fully persuaded. It doesn't matter. I remember once God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to start a Bible study with some Churchill kids. When I was a youth pastor here some years ago, I won't tell you how many, but there's about 12 kids and some I would go pick up. One kid I'd pick up way out in Coburg, out in Dark 30, and he would come and I'd bring him to this Bible study. And the first week we had 15 high school kids. It was great. Second week I preached them down to 7. And then And then they went to 5 and then 4. And after about the 5th or 6th week, like there was none one day. Zero came. And I had a conversation with God. I said, God, you told me to do this, and like Zippo is here. I went from a hero to a zero in 6 weeks here. And I said, and you know what? If this keeps happening, I'm out of here. Why should I be spending all this time doing this? And it's useless. It's futile. And I said to God, and I had a good lesson this morning for these kids, and there's nobody here. And it was like the Lord stopped me and said, I have a good lesson too for you. And I said, well, what is that? He said, the lesson today is obedience, not results. Because see, sometimes there's going to be wonderful results, and what if there's no results? Will you still obey, or will you disobey? Will you now compromise? Is God your servant? Is he someone that's to produce for you? Are you his employer? Or is he the one who owns us lock, stock, and barrel? We must be fully persuaded. Abraham had to go through that. He's a father of our faith. He was 100 years old. His wife, Sarah, was young, maybe 75. And he robbed the cradle. And God said, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, good for me. Sarah was in the back room going, I don't think so. Look at yourself in the mirror. But in Romans chapter 4, Paul talks about Abraham's faith. I mean, listen to this. It's going to come up on the screen, talking about even though he heard the news and saw himself, let's read, would you? Go. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his and gave glory to God. Here it is, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. Listen, when you fear God, you fear nothing else, but if you fear man, you will fear everything else. What if it doesn't turn out for good? What if I serve God and he doesn't do anything for me? We don't serve God for what he can do. I'm fully persuaded that he is who he says he is. And in the end, God will be true. That's what we find in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. In the end, God will be proved true and every human a liar. Back to the Bible study. God spoke to my heart and said, the lesson today is obedience. I asked you to pick these kids up. One of the kids, name is Jamie, wasn't even a Christian. And I'd have to go, like I said, way out to dark 630 to pick him up by Coburg and down a bumpy road to his farmhouse and pick him up. And I would talk to him about the Lord and ask him to receive the Lord, and he just wasn't into it. About, maybe 8 weeks later, I was out there picking him up, and I'm thinking, this is really getting old. Because he's just I think he's coming for a free breakfast is all. And so I pick him up, and boom, he slams the door. Now, I'm also his coach. I coached soccer. And we start driving out his driveway. And he looked at me, and he said, hey, coach, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, sure. He said, hey, coach, if I never become a Christian, would you still come out here and pick me up? And immediately in my mind, I was thinking, no way. But it's like the Lord said, obedience is much better than sacrifice. I said, yeah, Jamie, I'll still come and pick you up. He paused and said, okay, just wanted to ask. And he said nothing else. That was it. But you know, about 3 or 4 weeks later, he received Christ, and still to this day, he serves Jesus, married a wonderful Christian woman, serves the Lord, still yet to this day here in Eugene. How glad I am. How glad. You see, sometimes we serve God for only what He can do, extinguish the fire. Sometimes God is saying, I want you to go into the fire. So Nebuchadnezzar said, one last chance. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. They were fully persuaded in the sovereignty of God. Your faith and mine are going to be tested, every single one of us. And we're going to walk through some fires. But I want you to realize that when they threw him in the fire, even their opponents vanished. It's too hot. They went into the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar said, I don't see three, I see how many? And then he said, unbound. All of them unbound. Would you write down somewhere in your notes, when you're going through the fire, don't look at what you're walking through. Look at who you're walking with. Don't look at what you're walking through. Put your eyes on who you're walking with. Oh. King Nebuchadnezzar, the scripture says, leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. The Hebrew says, the definition or the interpretation of the Son of God, the Hebrew is Bar Ilach. Bar Ilach. Ilach is where we get the word Elohim or Eli, Elohi. That's the word of God. It's the word, rather, God, Elohim. Bar is the word for son of, like Simon Bar Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Well, Bar Ilach is the Son of God. And I look and he said, I see Bar Ilach. I thought, I wonder if God came down himself to walk with them. Doesn't he say that often, that he will be with us? He says that all the time. Lo, I'll be with you. I'll be with you even unto the ends of the age. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. How often he promises that he will be with us. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, make sure that you put your eyes not on what you're walking through, because sometimes there's going to be waves. Do you remember in the book of Mark when Peter was holding onto the gunwale of the boat and Jesus came walking to him on the water? And Peter said, Lord, biddeth me cometh to you with on the watereth. That's the King James. Biddeth me come to you. And Jesus looked and said, cometh. He read the King James too. And Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water, and he gets near to Jesus. And you remember what happens? It said, and he saw the wind and the and he began to sink. And Jesus grabbed his hand, pulled him back up, and said, oh, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You see, because you took the lower road. Instead of trust, you went into doubt. And that can happen right in the middle of your gate, or in the middle of your stance, right in the middle of your day. Boom, something happens. And God is saying, oh, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will make your path straight. Get you on the right road. Get you on the right road. Otherwise, you'll go into doubt. Doubt will emerge into fear, and fear will move you into compromise. Why did you doubt? And he pulls them up. He says, keep your eyes not on what you're walking through, but on who you're walking with. You lose sight of Jesus, you lose sight. Can I bring it to a close and say this? Some of you are going through a fire. But if you're going through a fire, don't stop. Your miracle is in the fire. You see, it's in the fire that chains are broken. It's in the fire that ropes are burned off that have been holding you hostage. It's when the heat gets hot, you start to abandon stuff like saying, I don't need to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm done. Like if you're on a gurney going into surgery, it's like you start praying like crazy, don't you? And when I'm done, like with a dentist, I have like no unconfessed sin left in my life. It just cleans me. We were going into Nashville a few years ago. I was speaking in Nashville, and it was in a storm, and lightning hit our plane. And kram! And boy, I tell you, people turned into Christians. All of them just became. I've never heard them praying like, you know, people praying like that. And I thought, isn't that funny? When you go through the fire, ropes that used to hold you hostage don't hold you hostage anymore. The stuff that used to be important become petty. When you get right near to death, it's like nothing matters as much anymore except your relationship with God. And God sometimes has to take us to the point where we realize that Jesus is all we need when Jesus is all we got. You see, it's in the fire where your miracle is. It's in the fire where chains are broken. It's in the fire where ropes are burned off. And that's when you redouble your efforts to get closer to God. When things are smooth, you just kind of chill. You get cavalier. And the fear of God is something nowhere near as important as it should be. And then we wonder why the consequences. But God is saying, your miracle is in the fire. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Let me tell you a story about a friend of mine. Ken Davis is an illusionist, and he would take like a basketball here, and then poof, it's gone. And I'm thinking, no way. Poof, he brings it out over here. And because he's a friend of mine, we had dinner after his show, or whatever they called it, and I said, Ken, you got to tell me how in the world you did this, and it whoop, it gone, and whoop, it comes up over here. He laughed. He said, I ain't telling you. It cost you too much money for that trick. I said, well, tell me. He said, then he kind of laughed, and he said this, and I'll never forget. He said, Wayne, if I can get you to look where I want you to look, I can do anything with your mind that I want to. I said, what? He said, if I can get you to look where I want you to look, I can do anything with your mind that I want to. And I looked at him and I said, you're just like the devil. We haven't been friends ever since, but I thought, isn't that true? You see, you take your eyes off of Jesus and you start seeing the fire, or the wind, or the waves, or whatever it is, all of a sudden you're consumed by it. I was taking a motorcycle course, and this advanced motorcycle course, and they were taking us around hairpin turns, and the instructor said, make sure you're looking in the right place. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't look at the guardrail. I said, yeah, but it's right in front of me. He said, no, whatever you look at, you become one with. I said, where do I look? I'll never forget it. He said, you always look out of the turn. You don't look into the turn. You look out of the turn. And for some reason, your body always follows what you're looking at. Ah. And then it all started to come together. Let me conclude with this story of a father who was driving home, and fire trucks zoomed around him, and sure enough, you know, you got to pull off to the side and pause and wait, and that's just the law. And so he pulled off to the side, and one, two, three, and then he waited, and then he continued, and then another one came, and oh, they're going in the same direction I'm going, to the neighborhood that I live in. So he sped up a little bit, and one of the greatest fears is it my house? I have a little 2-3-year-old daughter at home. Her bedroom's in the second story. So he sped up a little more, and lo and behold, to his greatest horror, it was his house. Flames were engulfing the first story, and he looked up, and his daughter was in the window of the second story, and there was a fireman telling her to jump. She was petrified. She wouldn't jump, holding on to the windowsill. And he said, jump now. The man came home and he said, this is my house, that's my daughter, and pushed his way through. And the fireman said, I'm sorry, sir, no one comes through here. He said, I own this house, get out of my way. He pushed his way through and he said to the fireman who was trying to beckon his daughter, he said, could I do this for you? He said, who are you? I'm her father. He said, then go ahead. Gently pushed the firemen aside, and he looked up, and his daughter recognized, and he said, honey, this is your daddy. Jump. Immediately, she jumped, because she trusted and saw her father. There's going to be times God's going to ask us to be people who stand strong in our faith. If you'll see the face of your father and the promises that he has, you'll be able to do it. You'll outlast your fears and overcome them. Not because we're immune from them, but we have his promises. And God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're going to walk through the fire. It's just the world he sent us into. I'd like him to send us into Nana Land, Narnia, or Disneyland, but he sent us here. It's okay. God is sovereign, and he's wise, and he's our Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's stand together. If you're here and you've never received Jesus, can I encourage you to do so? I want to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord. I received him when I was 19. I have one regret. I wish I would have received him sooner. Everything in my life changed when I asked him into my heart, not just as a religious experience, but as a lifetime relationship with him, that every day I get to walk with him. It's phenomenal. I'm not 19 anymore, I'm 39, but I tell you, it's just been the best years of my life. Was it easy? No. Absence of fear? No. No fire? No. You'll walk through them all. He doesn't make us immune. He gives us his presence. And I think that's the best of all. I'm going to give you a chance to receive the Lord. And if that's you, just raise a hand and just say, yeah, I want to receive Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? With your heads bowed, if you say, Wayne, I need to receive Christ. Lord, would you come into my heart? I don't understand everything there is to understand, but Lord, please come into my heart and change me from the inside out. If that's you, raise a hand right now. In doing so, you're saying, yes, I want to receive Christ. Go ahead. And yep, okay, yep. You're just saying yes, you too. Yep, the Lord sees that. God sees that. We're all going to say a prayer together. And if you've said this before, say it again, and let's renew our hearts to a first love. And ask God to strengthen our faith as we walk through this era, but be a people of great wisdom and great faith. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, that's the cry of our hearts. Thank you for helping us to trust you a little more every day. And when we have to make a choice between the fear of God or the fear of man, help us to take the high road, to trust you. That gives way to faith, and that gives way to obedience rather than doubt and fear. So Lord, at that important juncture, help us to see the face of our Father and trust you. We keep our eyes on you, and help us also realize that even if we're in the fire, our miracle may be in the fire. It's where chains are broken. So we'll not shy around it. We will walk through it because you will walk through it with us. Thank you for that. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your promises. We set our hope on your word and on your love. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we all say, would you seal that with a clap offering, would you?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message on overcoming fear as seen through the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
King Nebuchadnezzar, the scripture says, leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. When you're going through the fire, don't look at what you're walking through. Look at who you're walking with. Don't look at what you're walking through. Put your eyes on who you're walking with.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.